listen to all of the PR around this company, I would just adore myself. I'd think that I am amazing. There's still so much more to come. There's so many more learnings to happen. There's so many mistakes I've made. There's so many things I can't wait to address. There's so much fire in my belly for what's to come. You just can't get swamped.
It's infectious actually listening to you.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. I'm your host, Gary Fox. This week, we have a very special guest, Jennifer Rock, the skin nerd, who needs pretty much zero introduction. Jennifer is one of these people I had on my original list. I've talked about this list before, the list of people who are kind of dream guests for the podcast, who I had kind of made out a list of about 50 people that I really wanted on the podcast before I started. Jennifer was right up the top. I'll intro Jennifer in a second. Just a little bit of housekeeping first. The Entrepreneur Experiment Live is ready to go. It is on December 4th in Dublin City Centre. The guests are Devin Hughes from Buy Me and Gareth Flower from Park P&P. The location is 9 Degree Coffee on Westmoreland Street. Thank you to James McCormack from 9 Degree Coffee for agreeing to host us. It is on from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I hope to see you there. A lot of people have registered already. To register, simply go to my website, mrgaryfox.com. Click the little button up the top that says EE Live. Then just register your details, name, how many tickets you want. And also, one of the most important things is to ask a question, if you want to. We'll do a Q&A section with Devin and Garrett at the end, about 30 minutes. So it's your chance to get a really in-depth one-to-one question with the lads. So I would take advantage of that if I were you. Final bit of housekeeping. The Ideas Lab, the first episode goes out next Tuesday, and that is with Mr. David Delahunty. So that will be next Tuesday at 6 a.m. So on to episode 35 with Jennifer Rock, aka the Skin Nerd. There was a lot in this episode. It was one of those episodes where you sit down with someone and instantly you know you're going to enjoy this episode. What I took away from it was, I always try to learn a lot from the guests because that's one of the main reasons why I'm doing this, is Jennifer is incredibly real. That might sound really obvious and really basic, but Jennifer is just a real person. What you see is what you get. She says what she means and she means what she says. So, incredibly real. Her accountability is something I was struck by, how self-aware she was for someone who is only running the business since 2016. I'll get onto that in a second, but she's incredibly accountable to herself. Most of all, as an entrepreneur, you're accountable to your staff and your customers, but there's no one above you going, Gary or Jennifer, have you done that this week? So her accountability is something that really struck me. There's a lot of key tips in there for everybody on how to keep themselves accountable and how Jennifer actually organizes her week and her time. Listen out for the bit on her travel schedule for the last 2 weeks. It will make you feel incredibly lazy. And most importantly, one of the cliche things people say about starting a business is, oh, do something you're passionate about, find your passion. And that's easier said than done. But like literally, you could feel the passion bursting out of Jen as I was chatting to her. I felt excited by it. I felt excited by her product, by her business, just by her. Just to speak to someone who has that infectious passion it's refreshing. It's incredibly refreshing to talk to someone who's, we're all passionate about our businesses, but Jennifer truly, truly, truly cares about what she's doing and why she's doing it. Jennifer's one of these people who seems like an overnight success, 2016 to now, huge success, TV series, radio, magazines, book deal, best-selling book. But think as you're listening to it, listen to all the story that's gone before that. Her failure, her preparation, her learning, her spending her holidays going abroad to learn from conferences. So without further ado, welcome to episode 35 with Jennifer Rock, aka the Skin Nerd.
Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm nervous.
Well, actually, I won't actually start with the obvious question of tell me about you. Tell me where we are, because I like this place.
This is, you are sitting in the humble Skin Nerd HQ, which everyone always comes in and says they want to live here because it has a really cool vibe. It's an old building, so it actually used to be horses and stables. So stables that housed horses.
Okay.
And I suppose it just has that kind of real rustic feel. And then we have greenery everywhere and then all our skin colors so bright great and flamboyant. And it's just a real chilled open office bar where we are. We have two little rooms down the back for our meetings and our training and our education. So that's where you are.
It's very cool. It has a really nice vibe. It's nice that people put effort into actually where they work. You go into so many offices and you're like, oh my God, this place is grim.
For me, this is like my home. It's probably my second home, my 1.5 home. Mm. So I suppose we take a lot of pride in it. And everyone that works here almost acts like, I call them entrepreneurs. So they really own their own space. So we do treat it like our home. There's a kitchen area. They all kind of make their own food. There's been known for people to have slept over at times. Not that we encourage that for HR reasons. It is like a home. It's like a loft. People always describe it like a New York loft. That's the kind of vibe that it is.
That's exactly, actually. Now that you say that, it actually is perfect. So tell me a little bit about the company.
The company. So the company is The Skin and Nerd, which I have to break down because my eyes got the Skin Nerd. And they're like, The Skin Nerd. And I'm like, no, The Skin Nerd, like you're nerdy about skin. So the company has three elements to it. It has Cleanse Off Mitt, which is a blue, soon to be different colours, stay tuned, accessory that takes your makeup off in seconds. And if you don't wear makeup and you're sitting there thinking it's not for me, there is oil, debris, pollution in the sky always. So what we're always trying to do is encourage people to cleanse properly. Because first and foremost, we're a skincare company that's all about education. So our first product to market was to rival wipes, which now, coming up to 2020, is amazing because obviously everyone's talking about landfill and sustainability, and that's obviously hugely important. For me, coming from a facialist background for the last 15 years, it's all about the health of the skin. The skin is an organ and we should look after it. So Cleanse Off Mitt was my first introduction to the world of business, which was a disastrous fail and a massive learning curve. And so I launched it about 6 years ago. Thought I knew, oh God, just send out a tweet and, you know, every journalist will happily love it. And that was not the case. And it was, I put my life savings and our home at the time we were saving for our first house deposit into mitts upon mitts upon mitts. And it just wasn't to be. I hadn't got the right business plan, the right structure, which has then now taught me how to run the business properly.
So what went wrong?
So I genuinely really believe, and I still believe in the product. The product stands the test of time, but the way in which I packaged and delivered it and I suppose distributed it wasn't there. So I managed to make the product, had it all tested, packaged it, and then I started selling it into pharmacies. Mm. But I just didn't have the contacts. I didn't have the business plan. I didn't know the correct margins. I didn't have the correct logistics plan. I just thought, okay, this will work. So it was quite ignorant. In hindsight, it's been the best learning I've ever had. Because I remember ordering 20,000 units. They sold quite well. So I ordered 20,000 units, and as they landed, the company that was distributing them for me decided to drop me. So all of a sudden, I hadn't got a direct outlet. And at the time, we had put 30 grand or something like that into it as an investment. And we had just about, you know yourself, at that stage, you know, 30, 40 grand is going to be your first house deposit. So I had tail between legs, said, right, I can't give up the house again. We have to get back on track and save it. So I parked the mitts everywhere. Anyone that's ever met me at that stage would be like, sorry, do you have space in your attic for a few mitts?
Oh, no way. So you couldn't get a warehouse.
Couldn't get a warehouse. Oh, yeah. Wow. So I gave them, my parents had them in their attic. My partner at the time had them in his parents' attic. Everyone had them in attics, like everywhere, honestly, under beds, you name it. And then, excuse me, if I fast forward then to a couple of years later, I was teaching in London, teaching skincare. And I remember working in a particular clinic at one stage, and there's these, they're almost like old school television, like a terrestrial television where you put your head into it, but it is a skincare device, panic not. Please do not do this at home. And you can see your skin at a cellular level, i.e. underneath the skin. So you see pigment line, wrinkle, pores, you see the damage that you've exposed yourself to from UV or computer light, and you see what your skin will look like in 10 years.
Don't think I
want to
do that.
No, definitely don't do it on a Monday and do it with a glass of Prosecco in your hand. Top tip, not good for the skin, I jest. So anyway, I was working in London at the time, and I noticed that so many people were using wipes and so on and so forth, and they just weren't respecting their skin. So as much as wipes aren't great for the environment, they're not good for respecting the ecosystem of the skin. And when I came back from that particular role, my parents were kind of at me. They're like, you're going to give us your old bedroom back? Like, you moved out about 10 years ago. We can't get past all these boxes. And when I was working in Ireland at the time, there was kind of an opening into the media element. So I was doing a lot of facialists on what would be, I suppose, known influencers now. Mm. And they'd put me onto their, was Snapchat at the time, they'd put me onto their channel and they'd say, look, do you want to do a Q&A? I'm just inundated when skin questions come up. It's just insane. And, you know, it's all well and good for me to say I like this, this worked for me. But it's different when a qualified facialist that's been traveling the world for a decade can say, well, this ingredient is great because, or, oh, actually, that's quite marketing heavy. It doesn't really have the substance or the data behind it. So they were like, why don't you join Snapchat? So I did. And within a couple of days, it was like 10, 15, 20,000 people watching, because I was the first person to really, I suppose, specifically talk about skincare.
And then all these people, what year was this?
What year are we now? That's 2.5 years ago, 2019. So 2016.
Okay, so it's relatively new.
Yeah, exactly. So 2016, would it have been? Yeah, it would have been 2016. And I remember then things were going really well, and any brands that I was naturally talking about were seeing a surge in their sales. Wow. So my mom and dad selfishly at the time said, this is amazing for brand X, Y, and Z, but you know those myths that you created a few years ago that you parked, that you had no outlet to talk about? Could you potentially mention that? And I was totally opposed. I remember it took them weeks for me to actually even, they convinced me because they wanted my old bedroom back. They wanted to redo it. Like, this was not case in point, sit down business plan, let's sell the babies.
And I love the fact you started with this story. I love the fact you've started with a story where it actually started in failure.
Oh, 100%. But so many people do. And I think that often when you learn like that, I've learned so many things from that, how to be in business, how not to be, how to sign a contract with somebody, how to, you know, really read your T's and C's, because everything that particular company at the time had done originally was correct. It was what I signed up to. I just hadn't read it. I hadn't given it the time. I was so obsessed with being this, inverted commas, entrepreneurial spirit. And, you know, oh, that's okay, and it'll all work out. And it was ignorance.
You kind of have to have that, I think, at the start. You have to have almost like a level of ignorance, because if you sat down and thought about all the things that could go wrong,
well, you don't know at the beginning what can go wrong.
Well, you're hoping it won't, but
that's also a help. So yes, I suppose when I came back to Ireland then, doing the facials, and the Myth started selling as well, so they were doing great. They were selling through like large outlets, pharmacies, department stores.
So what happened? You were on Snapchat and you started talking about the Myths. And had you to redistribute them then again, or were they kind of out there just not selling?
They were not there. They hadn't been in the market for maybe a year or two. Okay. Nothing, nada. Nothing was out there. I was just back doing my own regular skincare. My background is teaching skincare. So I was back doing that between Ireland and England. When I moved back to Ireland, then started doing facials on influencers. They gave me the audience, I suppose, immediately. And then at that stage, my parents were saying, you know, maybe talk about the Myth, like stop talking about everyone else's company and product and brand. And I was like, oh, so I remember talking about the Myth for the first time and feeling just so peculiar about it, because people were going to support it. And it really just flew. We sold those units that I had left over. So about 10,000 units in the space of 10 days. So my parents were like little elves. Yeah, my little elves at home, picking and packing. My son at the time, Matt's 16 now this weekend. So he was, 13? Okay. So he was cycling up and down to the post office and, you know, getting
just
his
worse
friends.
It was jobs crazy. You could have at 13. That's
it was
class.
Brilliant. Anyway, so the comm did really well. And then through, I suppose, Snapchat building, really building up a community, I was highly interactive. I loved it. Like, Instagram is still my vice. It's not work to me. It's my place to go to chat to people. I really, really love it.
I think that's interesting. I think social media, and I had this, like, not argument, but kind of debate with someone the other day. I was like, social media is good if you use it for good things.
Yeah.
If you use it for garbage, it's garbage. It's like anything.
Yeah.
You know, it is what you make it.
One of my life philosophies is what you get out, you get back.
Yeah.
So I really believe that what we put out there an awful lot of the time is just content and information, education that you usually pay for. So I believe that, you know, put it out there and then people will align. If they like what you're saying, you'll rally in the right people. But what I noticed interesting at the time with Snapchat is that people weren't really sure what products to purchase, and they felt really marketed to. They didn't feel heard. They didn't really feel that when they went for a consult to a department store, a clinic, wherever, that particular person was really looking at their skin and teaching them. It was more about, well, I'm on commission, and so here you go.
This is the special this week. Yeah. This is what the highest commission is on. Yeah.
And if you go into a typical department store, now, complete disclaimer, our products, since we've launched our own skincare range, are in a department store. So I'm not opposed to department stores. What I really believe is accountable is to each individual employee has to be as educated in the brand they work on as possible. And my point for that is that when people were contacting me on Snapchat, they were saying, you know, if I go into a department store, and I go to stall X, stall X will only sell me stall X's products.
Yeah.
So there is a massive niche and need driven by the consumer to bring a lot of brands together. So like a mini department store that had lots of active skincare. So what I mean by that is you can walk into a department store and you can get a lot of beautiful brands that have stood the test of time. They've been out since 70s, 80s, 90s. Our parents and our parents' parents would know them. But I'm obsessed with results-driven skincare that has data, white paper, science behind it, ultimately a product that might truly change the texture and the feel and the health of your skin, as opposed to it's a beautiful package, it smells and it looks lovely. And they still have a place, but they can work together. And 3 years ago, the results-driven part wasn't a given. So what I saw then was a need to create an online skincare clinic, which didn't exist anywhere. So everyone thought, so sorry now. So you're going to sell brands that don't normally sell online. You're going to do it in cyberspace where no one can ever meet you. And I was like, yes, isn't it a marvelous idea? And it's because I had been sitting on Snapchat, like to this day, I still dedicate Sunday evenings and I sit for hours replying back to people. Even though I have a team of people to do it now, I just feel they're amazing at what they do, but I have to be in it. Like I enjoy it too much not to, and you really can't take your finger off the pulse. There are clients. Anyway, at that stage, I remember people just saying to me constantly, I don't know what to do. And, you know, how will I get healthy skin? And I'd reply back to a client and a couple of months later, she said, do you know that recommendation you gave me via Snapchat? I love myself. I can look in the mirror now, feel great about myself. My wedding's in 6 weeks. Thanks a feckin' million. And I thought, if I can do that through Snapchat, where there's been no consult, no true analysis of their skin's history, their budget, what they're using or any guidance, then imagine if I put structure around it. And that's what Nerd Network became. So it's an online skincare community. It's got 15,000 clients we've seen now in the last 2 years. So what we do is you ultimately pay €50 to become a member. As part of the membership, you get your consultation. So that's when you walked into Nerd HQ, into our new work loft, you would have seen the nerds on your right hand side. So they perform consults day in, day out. And that consult ultimately allows the client to truly know what's for them, what's not for them. If they so wish, there's a secret department store. You can only gain access to it. It's an e-commerce site.
I like that
if you've
idea,
had a consult. So we don't sell for the sake of selling. We sell if the product is correct for you, and you can only see what we recommend for you. Your wife or your husband or your best friend can't see the other products.
I like that.
So it's niche, and it's personalized.
That's clever. Yeah,
and
I really
then, like that. Like that, nowhere near like this. We have a podcast that they get every week exclusive. They get a Facebook Live. They get newsletters. There's a nerd line. They can ring us 7 days a week. And if they go, I've got a spot, I've got a wedding tomorrow, what am I going to do? There's somebody there. So
I think that's so clever. I think things are going back to niche. I was again in this chat, I think it might have been John last week. I think niche is where, you know, closed networks are actually going to be huge.
I think membership, I think everyone wants value. I think I'm not a, like, we do discount, don't get me wrong, and nerd networkers get kind of first dibs at any events that we do, or, you know, any discounts or sales that we do, but ultimately I believe there's a lot of value in what we're bringing. And so if our clients can feel that and get that attention and feel like everything's specific to them, who doesn't want that?
How often do you go into a shop and feel that feeling?
Never. Not unless you're in the States and they're like, on you. Like, can I help you, ma'am? You're like, oh my God.
But how often, I think that's really interesting, the fact that you're taking something which is highly personal, putting it online, which people thought was impersonal, and making it more personal.
And do you know what? A lot of people say to me, but how do you do it when you can't touch the skin? And I know it's a cliche answer, but it's really about the art of questions. So if you have the correct questions to ask somebody, you really learn what they've done, what they haven't done, what they've used, what they haven't used. They can describe their skin. We're teaching them and we're empowering them to learn about their own skin so they know what to use and what not to use, so they make better educated decisions, because they don't always purchase from us. They go off elsewhere. People are magpies, and, you know, so it just means that they really know what will make a difference. And you document it, and this is the beautiful part. So you take a photograph on day one, you come back for your follow-up consult a couple of months later, 12 weeks later, and that's when you can really spice it up and play with it. Great. And you can introduce more ingredients, more supplements perhaps, and really target a concern. And the joy for us is we have events every month then for our clients, and they come in here and we do kind of demos and teach them how to perform treatments on themselves, or pop pimples, which you shouldn't do, but if you want to do it, there's a way to do it, and we teach it. But they're all friends. Like, honestly, there are people that have been here from our first ever event, and they go off for dinner after, and they've they only know each other through this membership.
That's very interesting.
I love that, because that's real.
Yes.
So our brand philosophy is all about education, as you might imagine, innovation. So bringing skincare online was definitely different, and you know, deemed unusual at the time. Now it's becoming more the norm. And then the last one is human. So the word human, but spelt with O-O. So everywhere, if you read it, even it's, we've now trademarked the word because people kept thinking, God,
seriously,
girl, she can't spell. And I'm like, I can't spell. I just
it's a joke.
But it's about human. It doesn't matter if you're man, woman, whatever gender you identify as, what age you are, you know, you wash yourself.
That's cool.
And you can feel great in your skin, all puns not intended, and you can feel not so good in your skin. So let us help you. So if we can make it real, cut out all the crap, because so much skincare is about, you know, 25 people out of 32 said they love it and 87% said they have no push. Like, no, bull. That's absolute lies. Waffle.
The survey was 10 people.
Your term was 10 people and not even that. It's just they manipulate people's emotions, and skincare really can affect how somebody is in themselves. So we say to people quite easily, look, we've banned people from our site that are overbuying because they just buy the wrong product, or they'll buy it too soon. We're like, you're not using it enough, Mary, or you're using it too much, Mary. And we really guide, and people find that scary. But I think it's because we are quite morally driven, and I think it tends to come back to us tenfold because we're building relationships.
You've preempted my question that just kind of popped into my head as you were talking about consults there. How do you get people to follow your instructions?
So we give them what we call a homework sheet, which some people argue isn't a nice word because you're dealing with grown adults.
Yeah.
But we write it out detailed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then Nerdline really does come into play. So that the client might ring 3 days later saying, my delivery just arrived, amazing. Remind me again. And there's videos on every single product we have in the closed store. There's a video on how to use it, and there's a live chat so you can contact us constantly, because it is about how you use it, how often you use it, do you remove the product properly? So yeah, it's basically, I describe it like, it's like a personal trainer for your skin, but they're constantly on. So if you have a question on a Saturday night-ish, maybe not after 8, we're there. And I think that's the part, because you spend so much, like skincare is ridiculously expensive.
Mm.
So I think what we do differently is add value, that you're not just told what to use and good luck. You're told and advised what to use. We introduce it slowly. We don't believe in spending €400 in one go. We believe that you should just bring one or two things into your life, take a photograph, monitor it a month later.
Yeah.
And it really is just it's a totally different way of doing skincare. And then off the back of that business, I really noticed that people wanted active ingredients, so the A's, the C's, I won't bore you to tears with skincare, SPFs, and we really want an SPF that protects against computer light, for example. But all of these products that we were bringing in from abroad were typically €80-90 per 30-50 mil.
Wow, okay.
So they're costly, and people bulldoze through them because they see it as self-care. And what I noticed then was that there was a need to create a more affordable and accessible skincare range. So with comparable ingredients, but again, back to the whole morally driven, less, I don't want to say less commercial, because obviously we are a business, but we're not just driven by the bottom line. We're driven by, and this is where my accountant gives out to me all the time, because I sign contracts and then I come to him and I'm like, so this is what I've gotten us into. And he's like, yeah, you know that, you know, you won't have a business in 5 years if you continue this.
How do we make this
and
work?
And I'm like, it's going to be okay. Because I really want the best ingredients, and I go to the best manufacturers, and we make it the longest supply chain possible. But it ultimately meant that the products I can truly, truly stand over know that they will stand the test of time. So that's where Skingredients was born. So we now are only stocked in 220 doors. We only launched 6 months ago, and we chose 100 doors to start with because I wanted to cap it and keep it niche. And then word got out, and so we were double before we even started, and now we have a waiting list of over 150 doors. And in the salon world, we've hundreds of pharmacies wanting to stock us. We've international appeal, and it's just a matter of kind of going, "Boo, we're only new. We're still learning." And
I love how you say "only." You say "only."
We're only
a couple of hundred.
Oh no, I know, but compared to my Cleanse Off Mitt is in 1,800 doors in Ireland alone. We're in Aer Lingus, and we're signing to other larger companies abroad in the next few days. So I suppose by comparison, it's a smaller business in a sense. But
I'm going to have to take you back to like 2016 here. So this all kicked off really in 2016.
2016, yeah.
So this is November 2019.
2.5 years self-employed. I'll be celebrating now coming up to Christmas. So
that's bananas though, Jen.
Being
honest,
I know.
And we're sitting in this amazing place and you're talking about it's in 18,000 places and this is only in 200.
I don't mean only 200 disrespectfully. It's more
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, it's like some people would work up to 200 over 10 years. Do you know what I mean? They might be knocking on doors every day.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm really lucky. They have an amazing distributor that I'm working with in Ireland, and they really take the pressure off the logistics elements. So my responsibility is to ensure that everyone's educated, mystery shop them, ensure that they have kind of communication, help them at store level, do a lot of events. So more the kind of comms element, whereas they worry about the distribution. But honestly, making skincare, it's going back to what you said earlier. Had someone told me 2.5 years ago how hard it was, I don't know, it'll be a tricky one, because there's so much legalities, there's so much about formulating, it's a minefield. So where I'm lucky is that I align myself with board of advisors. I have no shame in ringing people and saying, you're a plastic surgeon in a well-known clinic in Dublin, can I come and talk to you? What do you see? And really pull on other people's insights and musings and knowledge. I don't feel that, you know, to be the founder of the Skin Nerd, I have to be the best at the can't even speak English, the most, I suppose, well-rounded. I just have to be able to lean on and know when it's right to call on other people. And that's how much technology went into creating Skin Ingredients. It was not just me. It was lots of people over the last 2.5 years, really.
I always ask people if they message me about the podcast. I always say, oh, thanks very much. How do we make it better? And someone actually messaged yesterday.
Love that you asked that, though. That's an amazing question. Because sometimes people just say, thanks, Phil.
It's so hard. I used to say, oh, thanks a lot. Who would you like to hear on as a guest?
Yeah.
And no one would give me answers.
Oh, really?
They'd be like, okay. Oh, I'll have a think about it. And no one would come back. And I was like, I need to change this. I'd ask my friends, how do I make it better? How do I make it better? So now anytime anyone messaged me, the secret's out now. Anytime anyone messaged me, I'd say, how do I make it better?
Don't message him unless you want to get...
No, unless you want to question a survey. But like, you want people's insights. And sorry, long story long. A chap messaged me yesterday going, I'll read it at the podcast. I'd love to chat to someone who started their own product. He's like, I'd love to someone who started from...
Oh, okay.
...with their own thing. So yeah. How did you approach it, say... With Skin Ingredients.
Hello, chap. It's tough. Honestly, it was the toughest thing ever. How did I start? So first of all, I suppose from having had at that stage, it would have been about 10,000 clients we might have had. So I really knew the key ingredients that I wanted in a formula. And that's what I started with. So for me, it was starting with a recipe. So Let's say it was like I knew the cake. So I knew the end product. I just didn't know how to get there. And I approached Irish manufacturers and I got told many a no, like, we don't make that kind of product here. And I was like you, I say, right, so thank you so much for your time. Can I just ask, do you know anywhere that
does? Yeah.
And it genuinely was like that. It was ringing people and just saying, can you help me? And then again, because I suppose I'm quite happy to message people, I was on social media and say, look, I'm not asking you to ever tell me where your manufacturer is, but is there any possibility you could give me guidelines, or are there trade shows that I could go to? Because again, that was all new to me. So then I found the trade shows that I was supposed to go to where all of these kind of manufacturers would pitch and where the raw ingredient suppliers. So going even a step further, because I like to be involved beginning. Okay. And I like to know what machinery is used in my product. So the brand is called Skin Ingredients because I genuinely stand over every single ingredient. To me, it's not about, it's a cherry cake. It's understanding, well, where did the cherry come from? What was the flour in it? What whisk was used? And I speak to every chef, if you will. Basically a nightmare to work with, but the end product is phenomenal.
But you know what you want.
Yeah, so that's how I started. It really was just asking people, finding the trade shows, making the contacts. Then I always, to this day, my insurance company, my agent is amazing and my solicitor are phenomenal. So I need to understand the insurance implications of what the manufacturer will or won't work with, so that to make sure that everything is covered the whole way through.
And break that down a little bit, because I think these are the insights that entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs need to hear. It's like when someone asks me, how do I start my business? I always say, before you start, get your accountant.
Yes.
Because, you know,
and it's the least sexy answer, it's so boring. It's so true.
I'd love to know. Let's go brainstorm a logo. Let's come up with the domain name.
But don't forget, I did that. I did the, let's design a product. Let's bring it out. Let's tweet it. Let's send it to journalists. Woo! And then I was like, oh no, that's the wrong margin. I'm like, oh God, I owe money. What do you mean? I'm selling a product and I owe money. So I agree with you. An accountant, for me, insurance, because you're dealing with skincare products. You always need to make sure that you have protection for everybody at every single part of the story, whether it's where the raw ingredient is sourced, right through to when, let's say somebody gets a dry, this doesn't happen, thank God, touch all the wood, but say someone gets a reaction to a product or their skin becomes drier off the back of it, that particular store, whomever it might be, has our support.
Right.
And then from a legal perspective, obviously contracts are king. So how long are you signed into this manufacturer? How long? What's your terms and conditions? When do you pay them? Is it when the product is made or delivered or shipped or your invoice? 10. So all of that was really important because I don't truly care about that. I truly care about the product and the ingredient and the client getting the results. So I think it's important to get the kind of more mundane parts done first, because I had made a mistake with one product that didn't come to fruition. And it's because I did all the sexy part first and then halfway through the process realized I can't actually sell this because we can't get insurance in the EU. So I think it's like everything, getting your ducks in a row.
I think people wouldn't think of that though. If you're a
you don't want
product.
To though, because yeah. you're excited by your
product. And you don't want to hear
no
as
no,
well.
Of course not.
You don't want to hear going, oh, it's not going to work, Gary.
Yeah, and a lot of market research. So originally when CleanSoft Mate was obviously our only product out there at the time, we had subcontracted distribution. So they ultimately worked for us as opposed to having a separate entity. So we created like a survey monkey, I suppose, and went out to different key pharmacies and buyers and just said, right, if we were to create a product with one of our products with hyaluronic and antioxidants in it, which we call it skin veg, it literally is like vegetables for your face. You know that you should eat veg, why would you not put it on your face? And we were kind of saying, what's your rate of sale for a product with similar ingredients? And what's your, you know, what's your price point for a product with the same mill? And, you know, and then just went back and collected the data, and that allowed us to really see if we were on the right road or not. Now, some I completely disagreed with and had to go with my gut, and then some we were right with. But it was, yeah, it was just that part is really interesting. That's the part that you're right, nobody really talks about. Mm. The part that I'm typically used to talking about is we have the core four, and they're called Pre-Pro because it's probiotics for your face. It's skin veg because it's vegetable for your face. It's called skin protein because it's protein for your face. You're getting the memo.
But I think that's really interesting how you break that down, because I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly a skin expert, but the fact that you say it instantly, I get it.
I think people understand what they should do inside, whether they do it or not, is really not up for me to judge at all, not on a pedestal in any shape or form. But skincare is about how you look after yourself inside, outside and on top. So I can't help with the inside. That's completely in your domain. But the reality is, you know, you're probably going to wash yourself, I would hope, every day. And so if you're going to wash yourself, why don't we choose ingredients that are mirror imaging what you're doing inside? So we all know we should take probiotics. So that cleansing will really help your skin externally, or, you know, like I said about the vegetables and protein as our most anti-aging product. If I say anti-aging, most females in the room, I am being sexist, are going to listen. Some men are getting better at really paying attention to skincare, because there's so much more pressure from Instagram and society to look a certain way at a certain age. And chronological aging just isn't allowed anymore. You know, at 35, you're supposed to look 32. At 40, and I say supposed to, and I don't mean that I believe that. That's just the perception people have, and that's the world we live in. So protein, ultimately, when I say anti-aging, pricks up the ears of people. But if I'm allowed to be nerdy and explain that it has vitamin A and it helps with your Langerhans, and people don't listen because it's...
Just make me look younger, Jen.
Do you know what I mean? People know the end point.
Get to the end. Skip all the boring bits. Tell me the end.
But our skincare... It's definitely different. We don't believe in skin types. We don't believe in marketing per se. We believe education has to rule everything. The packaging itself teaches you who it's for. It has a little infographic saying if it's for a pregnant person or not. Is it for your eyes? Is it not? On the bottom of the product, if you turn it over, it actually teaches you what every single ingredient is inside it. We're really trying to break the mold of, if you look at most skincare products, they'll say it smells and you'll feel fabulous. I'm like, So does an egg. I might eat it. Like nothing really rings true. So for us, it's all about the data and making sure that the end user does actually feel better in themselves a month later. So all of our products have clinical ingredients inside it. And it's down to the core force of originally the educational piece. And don't forget, CleanSoft Mate started because I wanted to ensure that people had healthy skin. So it's always the same story. It just depends on what part of the business you're looking at. It's all tied together.
So in 2016, you were still...
At my dining room table in my parents' house, knee-high in boxes.
And social, you jumped on that and it took off quite successfully. What was the next 6 months? What did they look like?
At that stage?
Yeah.
I was still working full-time at the time. So for an amazing skincare company who I still have an amazing relationship with, they were so supportive. And it was a matter of trying to do my day job well. I adore my job. I've always worked for others. I don't think there's obviously going to be a difference when you work for yourself, but I would say I gave 100% to others and maybe 125% to myself. So I've always loved my career. So yeah, I was working for myself, trying to do the best I could. And then I'd come home at night and yeah, reply to emails, send out welcome packs, info packs, mystery shop people, see how Cleanse Off Mitt was doing, reply back to people on social media, send them links to help them feel better in their skin. Meanwhile, try to drop my child to soccer, juggle being a mum. And yeah, I suppose that was, so it was a mad 6 months. But what really, I suppose, came through is that you can often get excited by the initial launch of anything because there's hype, there's noise, it's all exciting. And you can decide that that is your typical business and that's what your business will look like in 6 months. And I just now call that delusional because that's usually hopeful. So at that stage, I was really aware that I couldn't leave my full-time job because I have a mortgage, like the reality continues. So it was a matter of getting the Cleanse Off Mitt to a stage that we just couldn't manage it ourselves at home anymore. And there was just about enough money in the kitty to cover my mortgage. So if I could cover my mortgage and we were fed, I was like, well, why wouldn't I try it? So that's, that took about 6 to 7 months until I felt confident that I could leave to become self-employed.
That's an interesting point there, because I think that's something else people message me about, going, how do I know when the time is?
Yeah. I always say I'll never let Matthew and I get to the stage where beans on toast is our everyday. Yeah. So that's kind of a really low bar. I know that.
Okay.
Everyone else will tell you, like, I want to live in the Seychelles and I want 3 months off a year. And I'm like, right, okay, maybe in 10 years. But the reality is, there's a lot of not getting paid. There's a lot of getting paid last. And there's a lot of having to lower your expectations. Like, I haven't been on holidays in 2.5 years, whether that's financial, maybe because I like putting every bit of money back into the company, but also because I just don't have the time yet. So I've sacrificed a lot. I don't say sacrifice, I just think it's, I just accept it. I love what I'm doing. But it's at the stage now where I'm hiring a COO and a head of ops and bringing in a senior management team. So I am very much looking forward to a holiday.
That's going to be some holiday.
Oh my God, I'm going for forever. I'm never coming back. I'm retiring, isn't it?
Worldwide cruise.
But my point is that I think when you were saying about the 6 months, those 6 months turn into 2.5 years, and everyone says it's the first 2 to 3 years. So I'm really at the 3 year point. So I'm very excited to see what happens after.
I think most people listening would take where you are after 3 years. It's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, I
loved it. 6 months, you scaled up the Mitt. You're just at the Mitt still.
Mitt still.
And how is that? Like, how are you getting that into people? You said the first time you started, you sent out a tweet and just nothing.
Yeah,
silence. Yeah. What was different this time?
Difference was this time that, honestly, social media. Social media meant that I had a direct voice to the end user. So as opposed to having to lean on, which I do heavily now, but at the time I didn't have to lean on my distributor, or like, we work really closely with Ben Thomas, Arnott's, Lloyds, McCabe, CH, Myers Pharmacy, all of the big names in the country. And at that time, I suppose I was talking directly to the end user, and the consumer then drove the demand for the product. Had I not had that platform, I'd still be knocking on doors and asking, could you please take my product on? So, and it's the most inexpensive way to talk to the end user, because there's no budget behind it. It's just you in a onesie at home on a phone chatting. And that's still what it is. Most nights it's me talking through, this is what I did today and this is what ingredient I think you should do, and back to the word human, it's keeping it real and never losing sight of what we represent and stand for.
I love that though, like, because people are always like, oh, don't do things, don't scale, automate everything. You do need processes and you need systems, absolutely, but I think any of the successful entrepreneurs I talk to start with that. They start with doing things themselves, just exploring and figuring it out and just talking to people.
I just think the day, and I've said this to a few friends, I'm like, the day that I stop wanting to answer social media or truly knowing what my clients are saying, then, you know, take me away from the company for a couple of weeks holiday.
Yeah.
Because you only learn from listening to the person that is using your product, for me, because it's obviously a product based, or our clients that are online and they say to us, look, the consultation, instead of being 30 minutes, could you offer 20 minutes? Or, you know, could you send us a better link? That you're constantly getting feedback from people. And the advantage of being online is that people say, give feedback so much more freely. Whereas if I was in a physical store, they'd probably just tell me everything is beautiful.
It's like
thank
when you have
so
a
much.
Bad meal. How was it? Oh, it was amazing. Thanks. Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, were you full? I was full. Oh, my tummy, my eyes are bigger than my mouth. No, you were. You just didn't like it. Whereas online, people are like, can I just make a suggestion? And would you ever consider? And, you know, so actually the majority of our ideas come through listening. That's really it. And implementing it is the hard part. So we have a list. We actually have a list in our warehouse of all the different ideas, because I get in trouble because I have ideas all the time. So I'm not allowed to bring them out anymore. Okay. So my new goal for 2020, my resolution, if you do those, is to focus, because you can get distracted. Like, there's a book, we had an RTE series, I'm on TV all the time. I do radio, I write magazines, blogs, and then it's trying to manage 20 people and grow the business and seek funding and talk to distributors and manage that and grow it abroad. And, like, you know, you can just become so distracted, and I have weekly reviews of myself on a Saturday, and I have my KPIs. So I actually manage myself. There's nobody else to do it. So I'll ask myself, Jennifer, were you busy? And the answer is, oh my God, yeah, so busy. And they're like, did you do anything to truly help this business? I'm like, no, not.
I can see you actually having this conversation with yourself at home.
I really do. I'm definitely batty. And my son just looks at me like normal.
She's at it again.
He's so used to it. But no, I just think it's important to check in at yourself.
Talk to me how you do that, because I actually do that as well. And I've talked to a lot of people.
Do you have reviews with yourself?
Yeah. On a Sunday, I have my notebook. No, I'm not. It's weird. I always have, like, well, I always used to set this perfect list.
This
is my perfect week.
Yeah.
It never happened. I used to get stressed out. And now I have, what is a good week? And I, like, a short list.
Yes.
And try hit that.
I like
How
that.
Do you do it? This is purely a selfish question.
No, that's all right. Do you know what? I actually was at a female entrepreneur group recently, and everyone was asking, what would you like to take from this next hour session? I was like, I'd love to know how everyone organizes their week. Like, how do you organize?
I'm fascinated
by
that.
And, like, I come from a beauty therapist background, like I said. So, you know, how do people organize their computer? Is there a better way for me to save emails? Is there a more productive way? Because we all have the same hours. So how do you, maybe you have a little knack that can help me get through my emails quicker, because I really believe that emails are the bane of most people's lives, because we just we can be consumed by emails. Anyway, to go back to your question, I do plan every minute of my day, which is the least entrepreneurial answer, because they're usually quite happy, skippy people that don't do that, but that's what I feel I have to do. So I color code everything. So every day I plan out my day, but the red color is the one thing I have to get done that day that will actually make an impact.
Okay.
And then at the end of the week, I have to have done, it's actually interesting, similar to what you said, I have to do 3 out of 5, and then I forgive myself. 4 is great, and 5, Jesus, never happens.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and I think it's about having realistic expectations. I remember you get a call from a large chain in the UK on a Monday, and previously I'd say, right, I need to have this across the line by Friday. Now you learn that those conversations take weeks, if not months. Mm. So it's about just being fair to yourself, but always asking, are you driving the business? But for me, it's about growing it as well as maintaining it. So I try to just make sure I'm doing a bit of column A and B.
How do you push yourself, but not push yourself too far? How do you know this is the thing I struggle with. Realistic expectations.
I don't know if they exist, though, to be honest.
How do you know, right, okay.
Have you always been a high achiever?
I don't think so. I'm a high achiever now, but I always struggle with having realistic expectations for myself. Like, all the stuff you listed there, the things that you're involved in, I think most people would struggle to do a fifth of that.
You never do it right. Like, there's no point to me saying I do those 10, 15, 20 things and they're all done to the best of my ability. Of course not, because if you're focusing on one thing, and I think letting go of being a perfectionist has been a struggle, but it's been a huge benefit to me, where, you know, what is the saying? Perfection is the enemy of something. What's the other word?
Oh.
It's going to annoy us both. But anyway, the point is that I'm okay with doing everything to the best of my ability. And if that means it's 97%, then that's okay. And then surrounding and trusting my team completely to be able to pick up on pieces that I can't do. And now I'm at a stage where they come to me with things. So it's not always led by me. And that's a really beautiful place to be, because I'm not the only one driving and seeing the future of the business.
Perfect is the enemy of done.
Is that what
that
it is?
That was bugging me so much.
Have you heard anything I've said in the last
2 weeks? It was literally going around in my head. Actually, I had this discussion with a good friend of ours, Steve Birch, in the week. I was asking him about something.
Hey, Steve.
Steve has the detail, and it was about, like, home security and stuff. And I was asking him something. He goes, I'll just order that for you. And I was like, oh, great. You know when someone says that?
Yeah.
I'll do it next few weeks.
It came the next day.
He messaged me a few minutes later going, that's ordered now. And I was like, whoa. He goes, what did he say? A good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I actually wrote that on my notebook. That's on the inside of my notebook now. Oh, I said that to him. I was like, by the way, I'm stealing that and claiming it as my own.
I don't know when you know if it's enough. I think it's too soon in my career to ask me that. Mm. I think if you interviewed me in 7 years' time, I'd look back now and say, this is a time that I probably couldn't do again. Do you know when you look back in hindsight and think it's managed? Like, there's a lot I've done, like in the last week alone, I've done 320-hour days. I don't think that's healthy. That's definitely not good for the skin, but there's no option. Wow. So right now, because I don't have the senior management team in place, I have to do perhaps more than I will have to in 6 to 9 months' time. So it's, I don't think I'm the right person to ask, and that's being honest. And what I really find hard is when you go to these conferences and I go to be inspired and motivated, and then I see these people and they say, you know, I work just the morning and then I do yoga and I meditate and I home make all my food and I homeschool my children. And I'm like, And I'm like, who are you inspiring? That's not true.
That's not real. And maybe one day out of seven you might be able to nail that, but it's just not.
I think it's just not putting as much pressure on yourself, genuinely.
It's interesting you said that in 7 years when you look back, but the two, I keep coming back to this because it is remarkable. Since 2016, how have you learned to do all these things?
I've learned, I really have amazing people around me. So I have got an advisory board that I pulled together through friends of friends and just asked them. So they have been amazing. So I have like an accountant that I can call on. I have a culture leader who's amazing because I believe the humans that I have in the business are as important as the product I have on a shelf. They're the two sides, what is it? Two sides of the same coin, whichever the expression is. But I just have really strong people around me whose opinion I can collect, experience I can call on, and then I sleep on everything. That's my rule. And
I like that,
because I'm reactive by nature.
I think entrepreneurs are. I'm very reactive.
Sleep on it. I'm like, no, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm like, no.
I get excited about something and...
Yeah, make a decision. Then the next day, go, oh God, what did you do? Like the fear.
Overcommit to something.
Yeah. So that's it. I suppose it's leaning on them for the last few years and then just I do believe you have to, and this is so annoying to say out loud, and I actually can't believe if I listen back to this myself, I'm like, Jennifer, you didn't. I do believe you have to listen to yourself. I do believe, I don't mean in business decisions, but, you know, hiring people, are they right? Do they fit? Are they on track with you? I think, I really believe a lot starts with the humans and the protocols and the procedures that you design, i.e. the systems. Those two things are the foundations. And then, like you said, the gut. Yeah, and it's such
a... You can't mimic that. You can't create that. Your experiences over the last 10, 12 years have led you to have that gut. You probably can't explain why you feel that way about something.
But you know what? I've made so many mistakes. Like, I've made mistakes in every single department, and that's how I really learned. I suppose if I was to rethink the question you just asked, it's from, you know, hiring people that weren't right. It's from being a manager that I wouldn't want to be in the future. It's from, it's really from, I sometimes believe you actually learn more when you've made a mistake, but the mistake hasn't been so large that it couldn't be addressed or fixed. And I think it is checking in, like we said, we both do. It's checking in with yourself and being real with yourself. Because if I listen to all of the PR around this company, I would just adore myself. I'd think that I am amazing. Because it has gone from dining room to a beautiful building in 2.5 years, and we are successful, and, you know, the company is profitable, but there's still so much more to come. There's so many more learnings to happen. There's so many mistakes I've made. There's so many things I can't wait to address. There's so much fire in my belly for what's to come. You just can't get swamped.
It's infectious actually listening to you. Do you ever get scared?
Scared? Sometimes. Not very rarely. Not too often.
Too busy to be scared?
No, there's been times when, like, I suppose the reality in any new business, and it hasn't been in the last year or so, thank God, but it's paying people. There's a massive responsibility with paying people, and if it gets too close, if you're waiting, because often when you're dealing with large companies, 30 days credit that you might give them, which means you don't pay them till 30 days after they receive their stock, might turn into 45 to 50 because, you know, Mary and accounts might be on holidays. And I'm like, Mary and accounts on holidays, fantastic. Hope to have a fabulous time in the hotel. My team meant to get paid tomorrow and I got no money because you didn't pay me.
I hear that so many times with people. People don't realise that for entrepreneurs, that often you are waiting 2 months for payment, and that can be a big, especially for you. I mean, you could be talking huge amounts of money. I think people don't realize that when they start off as well, that you might be waiting 2 months, 3 months, 4 months.
So always build in a buffer is one of my key tips for everything. Buffer always. And always look at the pessimistic side, which isn't built into when you're trying to be, I'm gonna take over the world, and wait, you see me in Australia, and you're like, no. Like, you have to be a little bit more conservative. So I think I think the fear comes from not delivering to the people that commit so much. Those faces mean a lot to me. So to not have paid them, but it's never, thank God, happened. But it's gotten to the wire a couple of times where it's literally the night before and I'm like, how, when?
I think you have to think about these things. I think
you do.
It terrifies me when I hear people that say they don't know their margins or their cash flow is great. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
My biggest learning, because obviously, again, not from a commercial background. So if anyone's coming from a similar background to I, it's understanding accounting. So getting, like, I went and did my local Fingal course on like how to start your own business. And yet, hilarious, I was already in my own business. But it was understanding, this is going to make some people absolutely cringe, but like knowing a P&L is different to a cash flow and I didn't know what a PO was. How would I know? Like my job was to teach skincare. It wasn't to understand, you know, management accounts, etc. So yes, I think it's really interesting that you need to sit down and figure out what should I know. And the best advice I got was build a business as if you're not in it. So it says you're one who hasn't gone on holidays in 2.5 years.
But you're building towards it. Do you know what I mean? You're not.
I couldn't leave this. This is literally like, this is just too important to me right now to be here. But my point is that if you had, like I said earlier, the humans and the protocols, procedures, the structure, all of that in place, you should be able to lift yourself up and go away. And what do you need to know at the end of the day? You need to know cash at bank. You need to know whether you're profitable or not. You need to know your cash flow. You need to know any hiccups. Like, there's key things they need to know. And some people just often don't want to know them.
Yes, that's the key point.
And I think the hard part with me is that people always come to me with the hiccups. I never hear, Jen, we got the most amazing review.
Great news.
You know, client Mary said that she's, you know, had the best wedding day ever because she felt so good in her skin. I hear that like 10 months later. But you always hear, you know, this didn't happen and they didn't pay and that hasn't come through and they said this and, you know, and so you're almost like a troubleshooter. I think, and I genuinely believe as a human, when you own your own business, I have grown more into myself as a human being more than ever, because you actually start to really watch yourself. You watch yourself under pressure, under stress, how you deal with people, so you start to kind of morph into this different version of yourself.
But that self-awareness is very rare though, Jen.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's usually rare. Most people are blissfully ignorant, I think.
Because you can be. I was blissfully ignorant when I was an employee and I got to moan about my boss because he didn't give me the hour back that I drove to wherever. You know, it's not until you're kind of the only person, the book stops with you. So I can't blame anyone else. There's nobody else to blame. Someone else to give out to.
But that ownership though, I think that is rare. That definitely is rare. I know that for a fact. The ownership of going, it's on me. Yeah, I'll make this work either way or I won't.
You know, I just genuinely believe you have no choice if you want it enough. And I think that it's very easy. I hear other people in similar industries, friends of mine, that would talk about their staff and they might give out. And I'm like, yeah, but at the end of the day, maybe if we look in the mirror, there's a common denominator across those six people. Who is it? It's you. So maybe you're not
management.
Leading. Yeah. And leading definitely is the hardest part. And managing, I think they're two different things. And trying to find, like, I'd never really managed a team before. So to go from being an employee to managing to leading to being the owner, like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But I do, I find it interesting. I've now decided to have a degree in psychology. So I'm joking, absolutely joking. Please don't take offense if anyone hears this and they do have that degree. But it's more that you start to really watch human behavior, body language. You can preempt when things are going to happen. You know, you really have to get to know people. There you go. This is like a counseling session. Thanks a million.
Well, I'm learning a lot anyway.
I don't know how you're learning so much with all of your accolades.
Your network has 15,000 people already signed up. And you've done TV and you've done that. Is that still been driven by social?
Thankfully now it's more word of mouth. Not, I mean thankfully in a negative way, that sounds like I don't know what that sounds like, but social media was an amazing tool and it still is for us to kind of communicate our message out. But my joy is each month when we have our end of month, so I'm like, you know, so we've gotten, I don't know, 2,000 people into the network in the last month. Curious, not that much, but anyway, how many are referrals? And if it's over 60%, I'm a happy camper, because that means that it's based on the results people are getting, the support they're getting, the info they're getting, the fun they're having. I think with us for skincare, if you look at skin gradients, if you walk into a pharmacy, you'll see us a mile away. It's orange, it's purple, it's blue, it's in your face.
It's very distinctive. Just looking on the shelf here, it's incredibly distinctive.
It's charismatic. And I believe that skincare, when you walk in, you usually see like a wash of grey and a wash of blue. Whereas I wanted to try, and I do believe you should enjoy yourself always. Like, if, you know, even if it's hard, you should still laugh and you should enjoy it. Why not? Seriously.
I think you have to have a dark sense of humor to be an entrepreneur.
Do you reckon? I think so. But yeah, with Skingredients, I suppose it's all about color. So my point is, when there's referrals, that's the part that means the most to me. And everyone's congratulating me when Skingredients launched in June. It was one of the most successful launches in skincare that most pharmacies said they'd had. And everyone was telling me how amazing it was. And again, you could just believe you're pure and be like, ah, that's it, we got this. But that was when I was saying, yeah, no, it's not real yet. It's not real yet. It wasn't real to me until Mary bought her third bottle. It wasn't just second, it was her third. Because that means Mary really loves our product.
Okay.
And she's really feeling good in herself. And she's happy to fork out the 42 euro every couple of weeks for our, for every couple of months for our product. And that to me means that it's sustainable, there's longevity in it, and that really excites me, because that means my real creative juice is coming through as to how can I help Mary in the future, or how can I help keep Mary happy, do you know. So I think it's not just, it's not focusing on the hype, it's focusing on the long term.
How do you break those two apart?
Oh,
because there's a huge amount of hype.
There's a huge amount of hype in general. If you let the hype take over, you're not being true to yourself though, are you?
But it must be difficult though, Jen. I mean, you've built a massive brand, personally and the Skin Nerd, you know, in the space of a couple of years. I think a lot of people would let that go to their head. I would.
Maybe I do. I'll check in on myself, to be honest. I love it. And I didn't do it. I'm not doing it to be, and I said this a couple of years ago to a fellow entrepreneur. I said, I don't like being called an entrepreneur. They're suitably offended. Mm. And I said, because sometimes the word entrepreneur is very sexy at the moment. You know, I listen to my son, he's in transition year, and you know, what do you want to work as? Oh, for myself. It's not even a career, it's just for themselves. And it's phenomenal. It's applaudable. But I personally just enjoy skincare. I genuinely enjoy hearing, reading, seeing, touching skin that has been positively impacted, whether it's from our product, whether it's from our service, or whether you just saw me at a talk one day or heard me on the radio, or maybe it's a podcast, you're like, maybe I'll try something. So I think that because I suffered on my own skin years ago, I really have empathy for those that don't feel good in themselves and have been taunted and teased. And again, because we live in an Instagram world, people don't go to social events. They don't stay in relationships. They don't put themselves out there because they don't like who they are, and their skin is a large part of that. So if you can help that, then you're doing something positive.
People always say, oh, you know, how do I start a business? Oh, follow your passion.
Yeah.
It's very rare to actually talk to someone who's genuinely as passionate as you are about their product.
A little bit obsessed, maybe. Mm.
Do you ever find it tough though? Because are you always on?
Yes. Yeah. Have I ever? I haven't really been any other way though. Like I said, when I worked for others, I was still always on, still always researched, still always did courses, still always followed other people that were in my sector, still always spent my holidays flying to different countries to go to different shows. Mm. So I'm not the easiest person to date. I know, I'm joking. I'm getting a lot better. I'm starting to really, really learn and listen to others when they say that you need a work-life balance. And it hasn't quite come through yet, but it's getting a lot healthier that when I switch off and actually have better times when I'm walking the beach at home. Mm. That's when you get your ideas.
I was going to ask you that. You kind of preempted. How do you actually switch off?
What, love the beach. I'm definitely a complete fish human. Fish human. That's, how does she run her own business? Sentences like that. No, I'm definitely, I need the peace, the quiet. I need the cold on my face. I just need to walk, really. Mm. What about you?
Quite
Where
simple.
Do you go?
Yeah, it's actually walking the dog as well.
Yeah.
In Wicklow. I pop on a podcast, walk the dog. Gym's a big one as well, just because that's your time.
I think that's something that you must hear a lot, but people always say, like, for me, it is about making sure that I fuel myself with water, as healthy food as I possibly can. Mm. But sleep is definitely the one that I don't get as much of as I possibly should. So that's okay. High on the agenda. But again, this senior management team, I'm telling you, I'm gone.
This is gonna be magic.
I'm sleeping all the time.
We're going to have to do a follow-up in about 6 months. We'll do it in the Seychelles.
Yeah, of course.
We better actually talk about the skin since we're here.
Like, I know.
What... You know, you've talked about a lot of things there in terms of, you know, sleep and nutrition. And what are the key things that people aren't doing for their skin, I suppose, is kind of the key question.
Seeing it as an organ. They see it as an accessory, typically, where they might, if it's a woman, they tend to be more inclined to exfoliate it, tan it, put all sorts of crazy clothes on it that irritate it, pop a spot. I think that's the reality that we don't really respect. And that's going back to Skingredients. It isn't a plug back to my own brand, but it's more so that's why I created that range. Mm. I created the range because people didn't make the the link between what you do inside will actually affect the outside, and the skin is an organ, so we do deserve to respect it. So whether it's just washing and SPFing it, perfect. No one's saying you have to get rid of a line or a wrinkle. That's not even physically possible. Injections don't even do that. But you can really help to target skin conditions. So, and the other side that people probably do a little bit that I notice is they listen a lot to the marketing and they don't try products for long enough. We all expect miracles. So you'll buy, a serum and you don't like it tonight. You're like, I don't know if I like that now. And they smell products. But like your skin, you actually have got beautiful skin, FYI.
Oh, thank you, Jen. I was waiting for you to say that.
You do. But my point is, like, I wouldn't sniff your skin and then tell you that. I can tell by looking at it. And people buy these skincare products that smell delicious.
That's a very good point.
Like, you're not going to smell your face. So just buy perfume or cologne or, put on a candle. Yeah, I think they're the main things that people find. And they just don't. That's why the Nerd Network was so important to me, the online community. They don't know where to go for advice thereafter. So they might buy a product, go home, forget about how to use it. And for us, like I said, we're like personal trainers for the skin. So it's someone to kind of go, oh, you forgot to apply it. Mm. Like a joke and kind of mess and get them back on straight and narrow again. I think they're the main things.
It's consistency, though, isn't it? It's like anything. It's like business or fitness or anything. I was just having this conversation with a trainer yesterday. He's like, yeah, consistency.
Yeah.
There's no new great plan. How do you combat all the noise that's out there? Because there's as you say, Instagram, you've referenced that really well. You open up your Instagram and there's like a million different people plugging a million different things.
I think it goes back to what I said earlier. I feel that we attract quite a real human. So somebody who wants real content that's educational, a little bit of fun, probably a bit quirky. I wouldn't say we're the most, we're a little bit batty. I think that we just stay true to ourselves. And there were times where I got distracted and tried to reinvent myself because I kind of maybe doubted myself. Mm. But I'm actually quite happy to be a little bit batty, quirky, informative, casual. Don't feel I have to be in a suited and booted or in a doctor's coat per se to be respected. And that's often what skincare companies do. They kind of maybe overcomplicate it. Skincare can be simple.
Yeah.
It should just be like two people having a chat. It should be that you feel that you're being heard and that you're getting the right advice. And I think that's the vibe that we tend to give out. And so it tends to attract and retain those people.
Interesting. And I know it's only 2016 since you started, but social has moved on really quickly.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on it now? Where is it now?
If I hear one more person talk about TikTok, I'm just going to...
I had a look at it last week. There was a YouTuber I follow. He was like, oh, I'm going to try TikTok. And I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It was like this dance thing. I can't dance. Maybe that's fine. It's just hurting my feelings.
I haven't looked at it. Where is it going to go? I've no clue. I suppose everyone does talk about TikTok. For me, it's about always creating real content. We spoke before we came on to the podcast about storytelling. And I believe that's wherever the story can be told, that's where I'll follow. So whether it's through photographs, whether it's through audio like this, whether it's through moving stories like Instagram stories, once you're delivering information, we'll follow it. Interestingly, our blogs get the most interaction out of everything we do. And that's
considered your blog.
Yeah, so on theskinnerd.com, we have a blog for everybody. And then if you're a client of ours, you can log in and get more blog.
Put on more blog.
And then on skingredients.com, our own skincare brand, there's a blog. On Cleanse Off Mitt, there's a blog.
That's very interesting.
Blogs, because they are really engaged.
People don't, blogs aren't sexy.
No, they're not.
No one's like, oh, can't wait to start my blog. They're not sexy. It's like a YouTube channel or a podcast or whatever it is, or an Instagram.
Yeah.
So what's driving that? Is it?
It's so much information.
Okay.
So I suppose if I was to talk to you about, the different density and the different percentages of say collagen degradation over a couple of years, there's only so much you can consume. Whereas I feel with reading it, there's perhaps a little bit more that we can compartmentalize, we can bullet point it, we can color code it, we can bring links through to a product that helps it. So you can either get all of the info or you can have quite condensed info. And everyone obviously learns differently. So it's just interesting to see that written for us outweighs, and we have quite a large amount of subscribers to our nerdy newsletter, which you get through theskinnerd.com, and their open rate on those is ridiculous. Ridiculously high, because people seem to value our content, and that's what I always hope remains to be the case.
You have to do a little bit of everything, don't you?
Yeah, but I love that part.
Learning. Yeah.
Like, my guys are going out to me. It's like last year I did a podcast. We did our first podcast, and then podcasts have just taken over. But I really love listening. Like what you said, if I'm out walking or I do a lot of long drives or I fly a lot. Like last week, I'll give you a laugh. We flew from Dublin, London, London, Moscow, Moscow, Tokyo, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi, London, London, Dublin. I like podcasts because the week before last, was it? Week before last, all the space of like 6 to 7 days, it was definitely tiring. But the point is that I love audio, but on a plane, I'm not going to read necessarily because I'm kind of dozing in and out. But then if I'm, you know, if I have time to myself at bed at night, I'll always read. So I think everyone uses different mediums at different times. So I think it's important that you get your message across as many, cross as many as you can. But if you're maybe a one-man band, which I was for a long time, I just focused on one medium because I think that if you try to do too much without the support, nothing is quite of value.
It's very difficult, isn't it, when you're at that level. I agree with you. I think it has to be blogs, vlogs, podcasts, social. You kind of have to be everywhere because you don't know what's working either. Sometimes you're like, oh, maybe it's the blog. And obviously you can break down metrics when you're an online business. You can break down. But, you know, often it might be something that people heard 2 or 3 months ago that they're like, oh, Jen sounds nice.
I know.
Keep that in mind. Do you know what I mean?
But then I think they say people have to, like, I know for myself, if I hear of a brand, I don't know, food. So I'll hear a food brand. I'm like, that's interesting. And then it goes out your window because you're so busy, you're back to normal life. But then you'll see it somewhere, then you'll hear it again, then you might. So then you're more inclined. So I do think the more access points you have to somebody, the better and the stronger the conversion or the possibility of the conversion will be.
Mm. Storytelling is driving. I think storytelling is going to be the new marketing. That sounds so weird.
I know.
But I think it is going to be because it's authentic. Like, yeah. There's so many big brands. I found it really interesting you were talking about, you know, I never want to get to the day where I stop talking to the customers. And like, you've big brands, especially beauty brands and food brands, who'll spend hundreds of thousands on a market research survey with random people who don't really know their product, whereas you're still getting that, just talk to your customers.
And people are so amazed, so they'll reply back like, is this Genevieve? I'm like, yes. And they're like, it's 1 o'clock at night. I'm like, yeah, I understand, but I'm going to bed now. You should go to bed too.
I'm at the end of a 20-hour day.
But I do, that's actually something I look forward to, is reading messages at the end of the day, because you get a real feel for what's working, what's not working. So it's quite reactive. Maybe in the future I won't look every day, but right now I really enjoy it.
This is a ridiculous question considering how much you've done so far. What's next for the skin nerd? I even feel ridiculous asking that question.
Why do you feel ridiculous?
Because you've done, you've compressed a massive amount into like 2 years.
I'm now 54.
in the entrepreneur years, they're like dog years.
No, I don't mean that. I meant that I've aged so much. What is next? Honestly, what's next for me is to focus. It is to truly analyze what's working, what's not working. So really, really getting in even deeper to our clients. We're doing a lot of surveys at the moment to truly understand what makes them tick. For me, it's about keeping the clients we currently have happy, as opposed to always being obsessed acquisition. I think that can sound sexier. You know, I could say to you 15,000 clients today, but next year say 16,000. But if I had those highly engaged, I'd be a happier human than telling you of 30. So I think it's about acquisition, focusing my own abilities, learning my own role in the future, bringing in a senior management team, and enjoying it, which sounds mad, but what is the point if you don't enjoy it at least 98% of the time? And it's going to be days that you're just like, I don't want to get out of bed, but I really, really enjoy it, and I know I'm freaking lucky to enjoy it. Some of my friends just don't understand me. Just
really?
Don't understand me. Do you not find that though? Like, there's a lot of my friends that will be more 9-to-5ers, and I'm envious of them. I'm like, I wish I could just clock off and go home and that'd be great. But they don't understand what. But I'm like, imagine if I was an Olympian, you'd understand how much dedication that takes. Why can't you pretend, obviously my body doesn't look like that, but why can't you just pretend that it's the same determination and sheer drive inside that you can't explain, that that's how much passion and love and time I want to give to this? And you know, if I don't come out on Saturday night, that's why. Forgive me.
I'm so interested. You've just hit on something that's a real personal interest of mine. I love equating sport to business because I'm fascinated by high-performing sports stars. I talked to a young sports star last week, like probably the hottest prospect Ireland will have in a long time.
And definitely going to guess off-air, but okay.
Oh, we'll talk about off-air. And we were just chatting about business and things like that, and just his mentality is just phenomenal. Trains twice a day, has trained twice a day for 10 years. And just, like, he sees nothing except being the best in the world at what he does.
Wow.
That blows me away. And I'm always trying to, like, steal a little bit of that, like, magic. Because I'm so interested in that. That having that singular focus. Because in business, you nailed it there about focus. I often wish I had like a very simple goal. I'm like, oh, this is my goal. Because you know you can't set simple goals, but I sometimes wish going, I just want to be the best in the world, X, Y, Z. Because you know that's that.
But then in sports, I'm going to play that out. In sports, you can gauge that. So yes. If I am, I don't know, if I'm, oh, give me a sport.
Soccer.
Right. So if I want to be the number one, it's kind you kind of know when you're there.
Yeah.
Whereas in business, what are you going to be, the best business person in the world? Like, who is
define
that?
It. Define,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but I do agree. I think it's focused. And I think there's a lot of similarities. I think you have to be agile. I think you have to be mentally fit. I do think there's probably a lot of similarities. And actually, a particular mentor of mine that comes in and I work with one-to-one, he works at my team quite regularly as well. He kind of works as a mentor for some of the top leading Irish teams, and he often gives comparisons, you know, on the field as a team. How do you operate? How does your brain, you know, what allows you focus, what doesn't, how do you get, it's just it's really interesting.
We're almost at time now. I don't want to keep you much longer. I have a couple of questions to wrap up.
Hit me.
You can think of one. Think of this at the end. It's the last question. Oh, I'll ask you to recommend a book so you can think about that. Now, you touched on something there about mentors. Mentoring is something I'm kind of actively pursuing at the minute. I have a mentor for fitness and I'm looking for a mentor for business. When was the time to get a mentor and how did you get a mentor?
I've been really lucky that people have approached me.
Oh,
that's really annoying. I'm so sorry. Obviously, because I just look helpless out there. That I'm always going to help her. I'm really active in entrepreneur groups. I'm active online. If I really like somebody, what they're doing, I'll contact them.
Love it.
And I never really ask for a coffee because I always find that no one has a minute. But I'm like, can I just steal you for? Can I take your WhatsApp and just voice note you or something to that effect?
I love voice notes. I'm obsessed with voice notes.
Them. And you can reply, listen at your own time.
Some of my mates won't answer them.
Pardon?
Some of my mates won't answer them.
Oh, really?
They're like, stop sending me voice notes. I'm like, but it's so easy. It's like, it's weird.
They'll be doing it in a couple of years. I'm telling you. Yeah, so do I.
You get so much context in like a minute.
Yeah.
Or if I'm driving or whatever it is, I'm like, okay, this is the way I do. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I'm a big fan of those. So yeah, I think it's back to what I said earlier. It's reaching out to people, and then I have had a few people again through, say, you might be at award ceremonies or you'll have won something and then you hear, well, they work with, there's a couple of people actually that have been on your podcast, have actually people I've reached out to. So I'd have rang them and gone, do you mind me asking how, or if they're the founders, they were free, if they could message back. And I'm really soft with how I do it. And then if there's a natural spark or interest, then taking it offline and putting it into WhatsApp.
There's a skill to that though. There's definitely an art to that.
Do you think so? I think it's just a bit, maybe I'm just myself everywhere I freaking go.
But that's amazing. Like some people are either extremely pushy, like I hate those networking events. Oh good God.
I don't like the word networking, but if you think about like humans in a room that have a common goal, that's how I get over it. But I hate having to describe what I do because I'm like, how
really?
Do I describe? Yeah, I'm like, how do I describe this? Well, I work for myself. Skincare. And then it's such a complex business because I'm like, there's product, there's service, there's product off. Yeah, there's quite a lot. But and then you sound quite ditzy if you say, oh, I actually just love skin. I want everyone to feel happy themselves. Like, what are you trying to get? Like a Peace Prize or win American Pageant or something? But that's ultimately my real answer. But yes, what the structure is, kind of people don't understand it. I was at a wedding recently with my brother and sitting at the table. And I don't know if you noticed, people always, what do you do? And
it's that, the first question.
I'm a mother.
Not that I judge people by that. If someone asks me that first thing, I'm like, oh, great, this is going to be an
interesting
conversation.
Yeah, either they really are confident in what they do and they want to tell you.
It nearly is that, though.
It's not the person. So I've always found that a hard question to answer. But I remember this particular person, the more alcohol, I was driving, so obviously I wasn't drinking, and this particular person just kept like, you know, making jokes in a really kind way. And then towards the end, it was said, I just don't get your business. Could you just, I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're online. What do you have a team of people? And I was like, you have to think about it like a typical business. You need all the same cogs in the wheel. It's just that we happen to have a walking, talking newsletter in front of us always.
Didn't get it?
Couldn't understand how, but people are so intrigued by social media driven businesses. They don't, because they're so new. Like you said,
I suppose,
social
yeah.
has changed so much in the last 2.5 years. So how do you have it? And I'm like, it's not a social media driven business. It's a skincare business that has a lot of content and we use social media to communicate it. They're like, no, I don't get it. I'm like, well, you work in the airport.
Just Google me.
But people, I do think it's an unusual one. So yeah, it is an interesting one altogether.
And if you were starting again, what would you do or not do?
What would I do or not do? I don't know if I change much right now, because I genuinely believe that every lesson I've learned has brought me to where I am. God, that's such an awful answer, but it's my
true place. Though I've asked this a few times. I try not to ask the same questions all the time, but I've asked this a few times, and people, if they're honest, say that.
Yeah, honestly, the cleanse off me being a failure in the beginning was definitely massively hurtful for my ego, but that kind of wound, that saw that raw, could have just sat and fermented, or I decided to park it, and then when the opportunity presented itself, go right, I can't make the same mistake again. So what do I need? And going back to what you said, it was getting better accounting, a business plan, you know, speaking to the bank before you need them, trying to build relationships. That is what I did differently this time. I don't think I could have done anything differently, because honestly, I do the best I possibly can with the skills I personally have. But when you're talking about all your freaking degrees, I'm like, oh my God, I need to have that.
So I think if I was starting again, I wouldn't even bother.
Really?
Yeah, so I just start a business. Yeah.
Do you ever watch a Gary Vee online? He's obsessed with that. And I have a mother of a nearly 16-year-old, and he's there yelling at the crowd saying, don't go to college. I'm like, I don't know. I think there's a lot to have. I get a really amazing foundation of knowledge at the beginning. And then I do think life teaches you more than
I think I'd do what you've done. I think I'd do a specialization in something. I did business. That's very broad.
Yeah, but I think
that's
phenomenal.
A bit of everything and a bit of nothing. It's
the grass is always greener, isn't it?
Huh?
The grass is
100%. 100%. Like, again, chatting to someone last week, he's like, oh, do I need to do a business course? I was like, probably not. Probably just start your business and work with someone who can give you that little guide.
I think it's important to have someone outside your day-to-day operational. It's important to have somebody that you can lean on that's not your family or friend, and someone who's not financially benefiting in any shape or form. Because if you have that sounding board, they're looking out for you in the business rather than anything
else.
There's
so many sharks as well. The startup scene is full of people who are advisors.
Oh, really?
I'm doing air quotes. It's a podcast. I didn't realize. There's so many people who are advisors. That's their job. Professional advisor, professional coach. You're like,
what does that mean? But I think
what are you doing?
I think at the start, even if, like, I'm sure I've used those people over the years and not even been aware, to be fair, but you just have to go with at that time what is available to you and be honest everywhere you go. Because if, you know, there's no point in, you know, bigging yourself up or putting yourself down, just your facts are your facts. Help me.
I love that. I really like that. What other businesses are you interested in?
Oh God.
I'm fascinated by looking at trends.
The Airbnb model really interesting. I find like there's so many of these in my taxi headers. I think companies that are who they are, so for example Airbnb, but they don't own any buildings, I find that really interesting. I just think it's just so different. Companies that I look at the moment are always skincare. I'm pretty too focused in that department. I need to kind of broaden my own horizons, because skincare is changing rapidly, like social media is. So they're kind of on the same, but again, because the opening is there for it. And I find it really, like, what we're doing differently with Skingredients is we're speaking directly to the end user, and we found a niche where we brought salon worthy brands into a pharmacy realm. So I like companies that bring an already existing concept into a new department.
Yes, yeah.
And kind of reinvent it. So you're not reinventing the wheel, you're just changing the audience perhaps.
And that's the best advice, I think, to any new entrepreneurs, isn't it? Like, people are always looking for that. Oh, I want the big idea. I want the big, big idea. I'm going to reinvent everything. And you're like, you don't really need to. You just need to, like, tweak it ever so slightly, as you said, to a new audience.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast last week, and they were talking about dog grooming. So I'm obsessed with my dog. I, like, literally go into the dog shop, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take that, and that. And it's like 80, 90 quid. I'm like, no problem.
Really?
Should have taken my money. But, like, they were talking
that
about,
should,
like,
have been ingredients. You should have been giving yourself SPF.
Yeah. But, like, it's
therapeutic?
Just, no, what the podcast was saying is just reframing products.
Okay.
They were talking about, like, little brushes and stuff. That brush is no different to, like, a €2 brush you buy for your own hair or something, but because it's got the cute puppy on it, it's like 20 quid.
Yeah.
Like, reframing things and just making things slightly different, bringing them to a new audience.
In skincare, that frustrates me, though, because a lot of skincare brands are basically owned by the same companies, and they're the same common ingredients underneath, but they'll put, like, grey on for a man and put a little bit of a deeper essential oil in it, and yet you'll be charged less perhaps than I might, because statistically women are a little bit more emotionally attached to their skin. So in skincare, I don't, like, that's, for me, it's about trying to make sure that our product does deliver what it should deliver. So I try not to just, as you say, I'm now using your same connotations. I don't want to just tweak it. But I agree, in life, a lot of things don't need to be reinvented. Like CleanSoft Mitt is not the first microfiber mitt in the market or in the world. I'm not trying to pretend we are. Skin Gradients is definitely not the first skincare range out there, but the way in which we deliver it, package it, colour it, simply, like we have numbers on it to teach you how to use it. You can contact us, like I said, 7 days a week to understand how to work with it. That support piece, that educational piece, isn't the norm. So you're right, it's kind of putting your own philosophy into it and making sure that you drive it through.
You've just reminded me of a story, actually. We, Michelle, my wife, she bought the mitt years ago.
Oh, go away. Probably in the round one.
I think it was, right? Oh, because we moved on to a barge like nearly 4 years ago.
Love it.
But I remember, I always remember this, the day, exactly, where I was pushing a wheelbarrow and the mitt was on top of a bag. And next thing, this wind.
Did you think it was a sock?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. So literally, this wind came across, lifted the mitt, and into the canal it goes. And I'm standing looking at it. Michelle's like,
"You're dead
meat." I was like, "What is that anyway?" And it's only when you said that there, I was like, "Oh wait." So we'd go get another straight away.
I love her. Michelle, so there you go. My kindred spirit. Thank you for helping us along the way.
What book would you recommend? So every week, we give away a book. I'm a massive reader and I mainly do just find new books. I just love reading. So we give away a book to someone. It's just got to tag the Skin Nerd on social media, of course, and myself. Just tag, share the episode and tag us in it. That's all they got to do. What book have you enjoyed or has made a difference to you over the last couple of years?
The one I think I said to you before we came onto the podcast, so I know you've read it, is the Phil Knight book. I can't remember, what's it actually called?
Shoe Dog.
Yeah, Shoe Dog, you're dead right. And I think for me, that just had a lot of home truths. And at the stage when I was starting the business was when I first read it. And I think that's probably why it sticks in my mind more than others. And he just explained, well, he had a very unusual story in fairness, but the point is he did persevere. He had a lot of failures. He had a lot of a lot of loss. And you think, God, that's not really motivational, but it is, because you need to hear that it's not just rosy rainbows, you know, leprechaun goal.
What do you see now, where it is, founder of Nike, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know.
Sorry.
But you see it now and you're like, oh, it's worth billions.
Yeah.
What a great company. But it was him selling that out of his boot.
Yeah, very much so. And had a vision that was beyond his time, before his time. And like I said earlier to you off air, but to me, when he said, you know, I really had to beg, borrow and steal a couple of times to be able to pay people's wages, haven't had to do quite that. But like I said earlier, I've had a few,
oh my God. Yeah.
And I think that just, because when you look online or you talk to friends, very few people will tell you the reality. They won't tell you what's truly under the car bonnet. They won't tell you how low the diesel is. You know, so people don't want to. It's ego, it's pride and it's brand protection. So I understand. But when you hear that that had happened to others, it's not to excuse that it should happen every month, because obviously you need to really address why it's happening. But I think that it allows you a little bit of comfort that you're not the only one in that situation. And I needed that at that time.
The podcast is that for me. I get to talk to other people and go, that's okay. We're all just figuring it out.
Yeah.
I think I said that to someone yesterday. I was like, I just love the podcast because we're all just figuring it out. Everyone is just, you know, you look at all these people, successful people like yourself, and you're like, it's okay. Everyone is just figuring it out together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's cool. Great. So if you want to win a copy of Shoe Dog, tag the Skin Nerd on social media. Tell us where people can learn more about you and Skin Nerd.
So it's quite simple. You can go to our website, so theskinnerd.com. Find us on all social. We're always The Skin Nerd on all Twitter, Insta, Facebook, not TikTok just yet. And then obviously if you're intrigued about the concept of the brand, Skin Gradients is online, and so is CleanSoft Mitt, but everything's underneath the umbrella of the Skin Nerd.
Okay, so can they get them on your website?
Yeah.
And where else are they available then?
So CleanSoft Mitt's in pretty much every pharmacy nationwide, and then in Ireland, and then Skin Gradients is in kind of, I suppose, 200 doors. So there's quite a few places. And then Arnott's and Brown Thomas have it as well. And then the CleanSoft Mitt is available on Aer Lingus. So if you're flying away from this beautiful island of ours, make sure you grab yourself a little calm. But yeah, honestly, the Skin Nerd kind of brings you everywhere. And if you're ever, ever, ever unsure, honestly, DM us or direct message us on Insta, and we really do get back. It might take us a day or two, but we'll always, 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 always reply. So any questions about skin or otherwise, shoot them over.
Jennifer, thank you so much.
Absolute freaking pleasure. Thank you.
And that was episode 34 with Jennifer Rock, aka The Skin Nerd. Hope you enjoyed it. Please do share the episode. We are literally, as I'm recording this, we are 120 downloads away from 20,000 listeners. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this on Thursday, it's Tuesday now, we'll have shot past 20,000 listeners and on our way to 100,000. If you do want to win a copy of the book Jennifer talked about, Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, please do share the episode. Just tag The Skin Nerd and myself, Mr. Gary Fox, on any social channel you like. It can be LinkedIn. Last week's winner was from LinkedIn. The previous week was from Instagram. So it doesn't really matter where you share it, as long as you tag us. Reminder of EE Live. It's on December 4th, 9 Degree Coffee, Westmoreland Street, Dublin, 6 to 8 p.m. Just do go to the website, mrgaryfox.com, and register. And I will see you there on the night. Just a very special thank you to everyone who has listened and been one of the 20,000. It's been an epic journey from March to now, and I'm really excited about 2020. I've already sat down, made out the plan for two seasons next year, so it's going to be pretty interesting. I will see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. Thank you so much for listening.